I think that way every day of my life. At night, you know, it's like, okay, after the kids go to bed, I'm going to go down. I'm going to do something I need to do, whether it's music or, you know, something productive with my time. And then they get to bed and I'm on the couch and I'm like, there's almost 0% chance I'm going downstairs to do that thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That mental energy is gone.
I just want to chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard not to want to chill. I've been exhausted. I've been setting up all this printing stuff and doing all this stuff.
Yeah. That's a lot of work.
I feel like I am just spent. Like this.
Yeah.
Last night, I just fell asleep like for 2 hours. Like last couple of nights, I just kept falling asleep, like on the couch or anything. Like just couldn't even try to watch a movie or stay awake or anything. It's just exhausting. So
why do you keep going and doing stuff like that then?
I'm stupid. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a good grasp on being an adult, if I'm honest. I don't think I have a good grasp on it.
Because all the things that are attractive that are worth doing is like this, well, I guess we'll get on with it and do it at thing. Like that's what it feels like to do the good stuff. But then you have all this stuff and then you're all, you know, you have that push and pull with wanting to chill and then doing things that you know is going to be a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I want to just a get rich quick scheme to work. You understand it. I understand why it's bad. It's funny. I mean, I'll get into it in a minute about the printing, but the tech that was here is a really cool guy. It's a crazy story. We should have him on the pod sometime. I bet he would love it. We were just talking about the hard things. You just have to do hard things or else you really turn to mush in every way.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So and pretending like there's an easy out with the get rich quick, you know.
Right.
Not.
Right.
You know
now,
not.
With that being said, literally Dave, our drummer, 10 minutes before that we started recording, sent us that someone's selling 4 liquor stores in Champaign, Illinois, that makes about $4 million a year. And would me and Devin want to like become liquor store owners?
How much would one expect? Let's just analyze this on it.
I like this.
What would one expect to pay for something that gives you $4 million a year?
$3 million.
I think it was up for $3 million.
Does that make sense to you?
That's the first thing I said.
If you could buy something that makes $4 million a year, how much do you think you should be paying for it? Most, you know,
right?
It'd be. I would imagine if that was purely true, as the statement implies, you'd be willing to pay, you know, $40-50 million for it.
I asked that question, and Dave made a good point. That's probably gross. So it's probably maybe it only makes about $1 million a year or something, and then you know what I mean. Like it's probably something like that, and I don't know. I don't know what the other issues are with owning a liquor store.
Well, my car is in bad shape. My non-Tesla car is in real bad shape. It's got a bunch of stuff wrong with it. I'm thinking about going to trade that sucker in.
Yeah.
That's the guy with the liquor store business.
Unless he's just old and wants to get out of it.
Well, short sale for $3 million? Anyway, that's just the skeptical part of what.
Devin, what do you think? Dr. Grinch over here has to ruin everything. Can't even have an idea. You can't even float an idea around without old man Carter getting.
I don't know the details.
He needs to see the money. He needs to see the financials.
The devil's in the details on that one too.
Motherfucker's riding around a Tesla talking shit.
Well, I looked at the listing and it says something about home based, but I don't know if that means just the management is home based or is this like a home.
It could have been just an accident. No, I don't think it's home based, but
it was just kind of weird.
It's like
looking.
A moonshine just in the group of show.
But I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I like entertaining those ideas and stuff, but I mean, I know it's not going to happen until something. Actually,
and this—it sounds like the opposite of a get rich quick to me. It sounds like sign up for something that you're going to like be drained by totally in every way that might may or may not work. You know, like it sounds like not the mailbox money situation,
right? Those things that we talk about a lot are often full time, like 80-hour a week. Like, you know, you have to give everything, and so. That's what me and Toby always talk about. Is I'm like, well, you know, as long as we're in Emory and doing this stuff, there's no chance we can really do anything else like that. I mean, you'd have to be right. done with the band and done with everything to really commit to some huge business.
And then Toby be coming. We could save 1 hour a week to do this. And Toby be coming in here talking about the distributor, this and that, and the new state law and the counties doing this fucking thing.
Now you're talking.
And these are all his. This are all his, that's what is on his mind. That's him, his whole world. It's just this guy at the city that I got to do this thing with. But it, you know, it's whatever. And then before
fucking
you know
Chuck,
it,
down at the county clerk's office won't get off my ass.
Yeah. How long is it before you have a local $1 million thing before somebody organized crime person stumbles into your liquor shop one day? Now you got that relationship.
Still sounds fun. What a way to go if I get it. If I could get into organized crime, oh my God.
You could
God,
if you
it.
Owned four liquor stores. I bet you there's a way.
Well, I the other thing that you hadn't even thought about yet, none of the liquor stores, they said this, and I know it for a fact, you can add slot machines to them too. And then they really start making money.
Yeah,
now you're making money.
Who your life would be filled with. Your life and relationships would be filled with. You know, that whatever that is, that'd be your whole
man. It'd be so
world.
Cool if I became like the Tony Soprano of Champaign, Illinois. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? That's actually a pretty cool idea. Like, I guess that's
organized
the idea
crime?
Of Breaking Bad, right? Like, he was not a bad guy and he became the bad guy. And I never saw
he was
whole,
a teacher
series,
who just
but,
he was a chemistry guy who just knew how to do this formula stuff.
So, if you just anybody has the capability of becoming the bad guy with maybe a little luck and this and that, but, and you have to give up, you know, some of your morals, I guess, but
that's Waluigi is what that is.
Right.
That's what that, they have that concept in AI is Waluigi is because, for, or Wario, you know, basically it's
Wario.
Like whatever there is that AI is or has a thing, it's hallucination could be the bad guy. It can flip into the bad of that.
God.
How, do you know what I mean? Like, it could give you the answer that's the Waluigi to the Luigi that you were seeking.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, but what, anybody could, you know, you could do that with organized crime, which is pretty similar to maybe this world. Do you know what I mean? It's like little groups of people without formal structure that something you could probably be the Toby Morrill of that world. That's like a negative
Toby. That would
Toby.
Be cool. That would be.
Would you
so
be good,
good
though? How high would you go? But would it be about the same level as Emery is in the thing of the mob?
Well, my family and probably a lot of, you know, people that knew that know Emery and stuff like that think I am completely lost and off the deep end, not a Christian already, and that I've lost it all. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I have a girlfriend, I'm divorced, I, you know, still in a rock band, I drink, I smoke marijuana. Like, well, everything about me is, you know what I mean?
Like, and, yeah, you're just in one of those worlds, like organized crime.
Yeah,
or what
so
Toby
everybody
does,
already
the,
thinks
you know.
I'm a loser, bad person. Right. So all I it's not that far. It's just on the other corner. All I got to do is walk across
that
the street.
Funny. But you think you'd have relatively same status? Like, you'd be able, like, you know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, they think you could make those guys think you're pretty cool.
Oh yeah,
yeah, but without
yeah,
getting 100%. Killed.
I got family members too that will have done things, and it's in my blood. You know what I mean?
Well, like, you think you could avoid getting killed?
No, probably not. I don't think. I think it would go. It in bad
you'd
for me, but it'd
deep.
Be wild. Yeah, it'd be wild though. I just don't. I think everybody ends up in pretty bad situation with that, right?
I just think Devin? Eventually, you think Devin could probably handle it over there and stay in the shallow end and like not actually go too bad. You think Devin could do that and not get killed? I bet he.
I think
could.
I could be a pretty good middleman. For organized crime. I got
his ambition wouldn't take
he's Michael Corleone. What's the
he'd be regulated.
What's his name from The Godfather? It's shit. What's the actor's name?
Ray Liotta?
You know, no. From Godfather. Michael Corleone's main guy. It's I can't think
of the lawyer guy?
Yeah, what's his name? His name's Tom.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Tom, but he was a lawyer Italian. Character. And then Michael eventually got rid of him because he wasn't even Italian or whatever. It's the only thing I could think that this guy's in. He was in the Preacher movie where he was, you know, like
Robert Duvall?
No.
Robert Duvall. Yes.
Robert Duvall. Right.
Yeah,
what is that Preacher movie?
Oh, it's Apostle.
Apostle.
Yeah, okay, keep going. But yeah,
the only thing I could think that Robert Duvall was seeing is the Garth Brooks skit on Saturday Night Live about being grizzled
Jeopardy. Yeah. On Jeopardy.
Yeah, on Jeopardy. Who's the
that's
most
who Robert Duvall is to you.
Yeah. That's like, he said something like I was on the hill when I saw 47 men. Nah. And that's all I'm going to say about that. He said, and Marvin Gaye goes, grizzle. You know, like, so it says a bunch of
and the grizzled people are is Garth Brooks is one of them.
And yeah, it's him and Robert Duvall going against each other.
Oh, yeah.
So good. It's one of my favorite Saturday Night Live skits. But anyway, Devin could be that guy. Devin, I think, could handle everything and be super trustworthy. Like, Devin's like, I'm the guy that would probably do the hit that you can trust and it's goofy and a little bit weird, but you know, Tony Soprano, like, you dumbass, but I love you, but you're a dumbass. You know what I mean? That's the guy I am. I'm the guy that kind of does that.
Yeah.
Kind of like Michael's older brother that was supposed to take over for the Godfather, but then, you know, he got killed.
You're the one that I have to warn.
Right.
That they're.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You need to straighten up a little bit.
Yeah. Devin tells me, he's like,
I'm
I shouldn't
the one
be
that
doing
warns
this.
You.
Yeah. But for your own good. I mean, he's telling you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got to warn you because I got other bosses.
Can you imagine me, yeah, owning 4 liquor stores in Champaign?
Just Morel Industries. I mean,
oh,
that'd be cool.
Morel Liquors. Morel Liquors. It ends Morel Liquors.
Morel Liquors. More liquors. More liquors.
And we'll eventually get shortened to just liquors.
Yeah.
And liquor. But you spell it L I C K E R.
There's got to be.
L-I-C-K-E-R.
There's got to be a liquor store named Liquor Barely Newer or something
liquor,
like that.
Yeah, it has to be.
Has to be.
Y'all go to liquors, like you know. The think of the liquor store, and it's like already branded.
That's what
you go
I would
to
call
liquors.
It.
Yeah, that's a good.
I would call them. I'd change the name to liquors. L-I-C-K-E-R-S. Yeah, for sure. But I already started a whole.
Officially, it's liquors. Liquors LLC.
Yeah. Liquors.
LLC. Yeah.
But I've already started this new business, and I'm already feeling crazy about it. I just feel crazy and like.
Well, they did set up a giant printer in your garage yesterday.
So I have a full automatic printing press in my garage, along with a very large dryer.
Is that really what it's known as? Is a printing press? Because if I think, I keep thinking about Johannes Gutenberg every time you say it.
They probably call it a screen printing press, but it's a press. I mean, everybody.
Because the printing press always comes up as about those in the whenever it came out and how relevant it is AI like that. You know all the. Right. Printing, every time you say printing press, my mind jumps down that stupid thing. But isn't there a different term for it? Is that what it's called by the tech? Your printing press?
Yeah, everybody just calls it a press. Yeah, here's your press. A t-shirt press, screen press, screen printing press.
But printing press.
I mean, I guess you could say, but I mean, it is. That is what it is. I mean,
that's what other people call it.
I can print posters on it. I can print posters and
Well, printing and press are involved in the name. It's just,
I know, but you can see the confusion.
I mean, I'll probably just call it a t-shirt press or a
I just probably call it a press.
Let's just call it a press from now on.
Press.
And we won't get
it would
confused
be cool.
With
wonder
garlic
if I could
press.
Do like a it, wonder if people would subscribe to a zine that I printed on it. Like, you know what I mean? Like I've often
keep going.
Yep. I'm full of ideas.
Yep. Go for it. We'll map this one out.
I can't
how's
even print.
The zine? Let's go for the zine.
I don't even know how to print a t-shirt on it yet. And I'm thinking about a zine that I'm going to make.
Tell me more about this zine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. I will say this. This is way off topic. I found a bunch of my old AP magazines, you know, alternative press magazines. And then JT had some, I think, at their place. And I was like, man, you know what? A hard copy about bands and stuff like that was so fun. And you don't have that anymore. Everything's so fucking digital and everything. I was like, if you had a real zine, I bet there's enough people out there that would subscribe to it. Just some music news and some stuff, you know, just like some, it would have to be a little different because the music landscape now is so big. Like emo is almost everything now. It's like insane. I guess that's probably what happened with all the genres, but like everybody says everything is emo. What is
right.
it? Emo
it's
now?
At a, it's you know at a whole nother, it's untethered from the sounds that right. bands like ours make. It's right. untethered from all of that. It's now simply a cultural descriptor. It's out there.
Right. But if you had something like, I used to love getting Mad Magazine. Did y'all get those?
Yeah.
Alfred P. Newman, What Me Worry. And I just
remember the things
so
that were in
cool.
Spy versus Spy was in it.
Spy versus
Spy. There were some things I would look for in that.
And it was like, you know, goofy articles that weren't really real. It was jokey stuff. And they would have some game stuff. The back, if you bent the back, it would form a new picture or something, you know, all that stuff. It was just goofy. I used to, and I was like, in the AP magazine, remember we used to get them and we'd look, see if we were in it, and people were, you know, just all kinds of stuff, the reviews of new albums and all that stuff. I just thought it was really cool. I don't know if that's even feasible anymore, but I do like the idea of something tangible and tactile you can open and just have in your house. Like, especially even just to have it like on the coffee table or something. It's just cool.
You'd be cutting into the vinyl feel, because vinyl is, everybody knows, the best merch there is, and you mostly don't use it. So let's kind of notice what that might mean. Like, I'll get another t-shirt. Cool. Thank you. We appreciate it. We wear them.
Yeah.
So there's a reason to buy a t-shirt. But vinyl, I don't think people listen to it a lot.
Yeah, it's more collective.
I think, let's be honest, at this point, it's having the it's just a tangible big thing to have and look at. And maybe you play it. The idea you could play it matters. The idea you could read a zine matters. But you're participating in something else anyway. So just having a thing to participate with, if you could make it pretty good, it would be, people would want it, because it would you know, be a different type of thing to have on your coffee table. It's a different category.
It's very similar. I mean, there's always going to be something valuable about
it's so scarce, you know,
physical items and things like that. Because card collecting is the same way. Like I told y'all, I got kind of back into it a little bit.
Exciting. I was excited when you sent that card. I was like, wait a minute. Because I remember thinking how when baseball cards got so dumb that they weren't even worth keeping up. Like, you remember?
Right.
Like, it was cool. It was good. It was great. And then it was nothing. Every new thing was worth nothing. And it didn't matter.
Yeah. That's what they talk about now is like they call it the junk wax era or whatever, where they just printed thousands and thousands of every card or whatever.
Yeah.
So now it's more like one of ones and of 10, you know, things like that. That's really neat. And so, but that's the thing. It's like, it's crazy. Like, I'll buy a pack of cards or something, and it is so exciting.
Yeah, because you get the thing in the pack. That's unbelievable. I follow Instagram accounts where people, like, when they show it on Instagram, like, they've got opened a pack,
and you
watch the guy do it.
Unboxing the pack.
Yeah, and he goes to the pack today, and is like on a 1976 Tops or whatever, and it's just boom, 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 and then bam, there's a whatever in it.
Right.
And he eats a piece of gum. And he goes,
I know. They call it, like, you know, ripping wax is like all these, you know, phrases that people say. So, man, ripping wax is the best. It's kind of nerdy and funny, but you just open that thing and then you see a card that you like, or let's just how it's so cool looking.
Yeah.
And then it's just, I'm just so excited. And then I'll put it in the case and I'm like, oh, that's so, it's so funny. But it's just, for some reason, it's so exciting.
I think you need stuff like that, some kind of tactile, real thing, because everything's so digital. I mean, you know what I mean? Like that's why it's hard for me, honestly. I understand the idea of NFT, but something that, I mean, a baseball card is the original NFT in a way.
Right.
And it just, there's something about being able to hold it and have it and see it and the quality of it. And then it was made and somehow it just got to you. You know what I mean? Like, somehow that card came in that box, and this is the one you pick, and it just is so cool. Like,
there's something special about like how good of shape it's in too, because it can get messed up.
Yeah.
Like, the printers are off center, or, you know, there's all these different things that could happen. And then if you get a perfect one, and, you know, like all this stuff, there's a lot of elements to it that people get, you know, pretty wild about it.
The imperfections are a big part of it. Like, what makes it fun? That it's not digital and perfect, and there's infinity of them or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool. And so, just tell me more about the zine. What's in it?
What's it called?
Well,
let's think of a name. You
know. Yeah. Well, I was thinking, if you really were going to do something like that, maybe you would even partner with, like, the Hard Times. Remember, we had him on BC Pod, and it's like it's kind of like the Onion or the B. What's the B one?
Babylon B.
So you could do a little bit of that, but just for, like, maybe it'd have a few different sections, whereas, like, some is a little parody, some is actually reviews of new albums, and some is, like, band interviews. And then, I don't know, maybe a few other things, but it would have to be really dialed into that kind of that AP magazine vibe. Like, I think it needs to be something a little goofier. It doesn't need to be
way less formal, though. Like, way more just a way lower seriousness,
right?
And not critical.
Yes,
and you know what?
No clout, like, none of that.
And you know what would be really cool? You could kind of break into that collecting scene too. Is if you know, let's say you printed 500 or 1,000 copies of whatever version of it, and you, and there's like five special copies with autographs in it, or, you know, things like that, where you could include like special collectibles from bands and things like that. That'd be really neat. I think people would like that.
Yeah. When I was looking through, it was just so cool. Like seeing all the bands that blew up that were just starting, or it was like their first or second record, like some of the, you know what I mean? Like, or there,
but you, it literally would have to be translated to whole different types of content though. Cause it's like, you're not going to cover new bands that are going to blow up. It's not, that doesn't exist in that way. So what the content would be
entertainment in general, like it, maybe something about movies, you mean, or stuff like
It could be
like,
about bands and stuff, but realistically it's not gonna be about new bands a lot. It's more of like, it'd feel more like it'd be about like, it,
well,
just,
you could
it,
do,
it
you
wouldn't
could
be
do,
serious. Like there's, oh, who does Equal Vision have coming out this year? Like that's not, nobody cares.
All those bands though, they have, you know, all those magazines had interviews with band members and like that. And almost like a physical version of a podcast or something, where you interview somebody and there's an interview with somebody in there, like specifically from a band that you know or whatever, and that's part of the content. There's some cool, you know, maybe there's eventually there's pictures and ads in there or whatever, like magazines have, but you could have one solid interview and then a bunch of other just kind of little cool off the cuff stuff or whatever.
How much would it cost, and how many can you print, and what is it on?
Well, if I were to, I don't actually think I can print. I mean, I can print posters, but that's
like, what
one,
is this? It'd be some short little. It wouldn't be like a real magazine.
Don't know how,
we don't want that.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how a magazine printing press actually worked, because each page, like think about when the AP magazine, all
that's
color,
some other whole
all
thing.
Those different
but there's
images.
Like a
yeah,
comic.
That's not
book.
What I'm doing.
Yeah, but there's like some 4-page thing that's like tactile and nice, but it's like four pages and something or another that'll fit.
So then like you might get it like a sports game or something, like a, you know,
there's not a ton of content in there.
Yeah, right.
I'd probably do
it's visual. Mostly.
It'd probably be something more like, it wouldn't be direct to film, but there's a print. It probably just you. I wouldn't use my press. I would use like some form of actual printer. You know what I mean? And create it on whatever certain that glossy paper or whatever, and that's probably what you would do. And then you would only print a few. Not that many, you know what I mean? And each copy plays, I don't know, 10?
I mean,
I'm not 10.
To
I mean,
start 10, small.
$10, and probably maybe 100?
Once as monthly?
Yeah, you'd start with 100 and see if you get 100 people to buy that.
Like, what if Nintendo Power only had 100, Nintendo Power magazines only had 100 copies, and you had one of those?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as if people thought it was really cool, the same way as they think it, NFTs or gold is cool, whatever, then, you know, that's the thing. Would it be cool enough to have that? What the content would matter. The first few probably wouldn't, and people when they caught on. But yeah, it would be neat to have that, just because you're
if
right.
If it looked awesome, you would.
Same
want
way as an album, like you said, a vinyl. The cover of the vinyl is so awesome.
If it looks awesome.
Yeah.
If you get the best people in the world, Ryan Clark and people, to design it, and it looks as good as it could possibly look. Not that it's about that. I'm just saying, if the level of care of how well the thing looked and felt was high enough, it would just be a matter of what is the contents, and its scarcity and its attachment to the thing would maybe make you want to have it as something to talk about that was in your house.
And maybe you only release it once a quarter. Maybe there's four a year, you know, like, so you spend more time on the design and things like that, you know, but.
And it's kind of close to a regular newsletter like you would do on Substack or whatever, which is also not a bad idea. Toby kind of always has a pull to that anyway, sometimes. So we probably could cultivate, start by trying to figure out some content digitally and then figure out how to design it and put it on something he could print. I love it.
So
what started out as a joke has turned out to be.
I know. I'm always full of ideas, but I have an actual business that I have to learn and start right now.
You have no idea what we're even talking about printing on
I have zero
like paper. I don't even know what it is. What do you buy?
How many words
can you fit on a page?
Okay, but I got it more to the idea. Could you? You would have to. Okay, so we'd start now. This new magazine, in a way, this new zine comes out January 1st. Each zine is, let's say, it's not that many pages. Maybe it's, you
got
know,
a launch
it looks,
date.
It looks really cool. And each one comes with a, is it, what's the small vinyl? Is it not a 45? It's a
7-inch.
7-inch vinyl. Each one comes, and you just get a band to do that. Maybe it's like two bands, one on each side, like the old splits, which are so cool. So you get a vinyl and you get, and there's only 100 made or something like that. And, you know, if the bands would do it, you know, they probably would want to cut and all that stuff.
This
but
is not going to be $10.
No, that would have to
there's
be
only
like
100 is quarterly. It comes with a seven. I mean, it's going to cost $200.
Like yeah,
no,
it might
it's gonna be
$200. Yeah, you're probably right. There's probably 100 people out there that would pay $200.
Yeah.
Each month.
I mean, if it was cool, there's.
Yeah, if it was cool, but.
Up
yeah.
to 100 people, $200. How much does that make?
Not
is
much.
20,000? Yeah.
20,000 times 12.
Now
but
we have
how much
some,
does it cost production?
Yeah. No, if you did it once a quarter, I'm just saying 20,000 is what each run of 100. So now what's the material? Like now how much profit is
that? Well,
if you
only did a
how
quarter,
how much is it worth
could,
to put into the content now that you have some budget?
Yeah, that's true.
If you, now you if have $20,000 to work with to make profit and your manufacturing and the content. To
if it was only one every 3 months, you probably could do more than 100. You know what I mean? You probably could.
But to make it worth $200, probably 100.
Like how much do we charge for a 7-inch? How much does a band charge for a 7-inch?
I don't know. I'm just trying to make it feel premium and special.
20 bucks.
It's not the least. Because we're not trying to do the most volume. We're trying to make it. We want to be as high price as possible is basically our strategy. And make only some.
Yeah.
Right.
And that'll make it more.
It's mostly about being cool and the scene's cool or something like that.
Yeah. So, but you know, if it was only 10 of them, that might be cost $500. I don't know. But anyway, if you had I'm just saying if it's 200, if we made 100, or you could make 100 and 200 and charge 100, that's still $20,000 you get to fund the project.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably a minimum of the vinyl you have to make anyway. So, yeah, but it would just be a cool idea. But right now, I'm just literally trying to learn how to make a T-shirt.
We'll start right with that. We know how to monetize that one.
Yeah.
I guess that's everybody's problem. Everybody has a good idea.
Yeah.
And it's just only some people can do it. So in this instance, I'm happy with myself because, so I know nothing about printing T-shirts, right? I don't know anything about it. I mean, I know I get the gist of it, but I'm saying I've never really done it. I never was into it. Our band never was like, oh, let's print our own T-shirts because we're a small local band. Like, we were never going to do that as a group.
Well, I would flip that around and say, I think it's probably almost close to the opposite. You literally know everything about it except for, like, how a machine works.
Well, yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Okay, that's a good point.
But you
but
know
I'm saying
every
the actual,
other thing. You
the
do
actual
know.
Making of the shirt, I don't know much about. So, like, I mean, there's still so many things that I still have to buy and get. Like, so the press, you know, it was like $5,000 just to move it from Hawthorne's space to here. And that, you know, that's devastating to me. Like, because I want to do everything DIY. I'm like, I know I could break this thing down
so
and do
awful,
it.
Though.
And it wouldn't have been as awful as I thought. Now,
really?
Having set it up, I can definitely break this machine down by myself.
So that's awesome. That's so cool. You got to watch and then you have that confidence that I can do that better than him. Not really think that, but it's the start of it.
Oh yeah. No, I can't. I'm not better than Richard at all, but he was awesome because it was just cool because he works on these things, but he has such a cool story. I mean, I can't even get, that's what I'm saying. I won't get into all the story, but he usually works with the Rock ones, the ROQ. That's what most people are using now. They're like the standard now, them and MR printing presses and T-shirt presses rather. And so he said the way he got started was he just had a manual printer and he was printing his own shirts, grew up in LA and would just go around selling his shirts. And eventually, long story is crazy. I'll tell you all more later. But he's just such a cool guy. Came up, you know, he has like a tattoo on his face and just tatted out. Just, you know, just really cool dude. But he said he bought his first automatic press and he went there and the guy was like, oh, where's your tech to break this thing down? He's like, no, I'm not going to pay a tech. I'm breaking it down. He's like, okay, well, don't, you know, it works. So when you break it, don't call me. And he just did it. He's just like, I'm just going to figure out how to do this. And he's one of those guys where he's like, I'm just going to get my hands dirty. Like, it was cool. My machine is a Brown. And it has this, and he never even really worked with a Brown before. So he's just like pushing buttons and he's like, oh, this is probably this. What if this, no, that's not right. You know, like I just liked his approach because it was so, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to try something, because if I don't try it, what am I doing? And this way, now I know. And that's the way I just felt about it. And so it was really cool. So just watching him and seeing it be put together, I feel confident next time I can at least break it down and probably move it myself. If
these
I ever get a space outside my garage.
Are those one-off people like that that have those special skills that nobody would seek to necessarily have, but they wind up with them, are the coolest people, like people that work on the buses, that fall into it because it's just perfect for them. But you remember that guy that we called in California that one time that came and fixed our generator?
Yeah.
Where you just talk to somebody at the shop in this other place, and then they just go, well, there's this guy named Randall.
Yes.
And then they give you a cell phone number. You call, and it's this weird voicemail, and then you have to set something up. And he doesn't have to, like, but he knows everything about generators in this way that is not like anything else. And if you can convince him to come down, he's like, fuck, I'll just go look.
And these people,
he knows when he gets down there, he's going to know what to do in a very special way. And you got it, but he doesn't even want to do it or have a business. Or he only does 4 times a day. But he can charge whatever he wants because there's nobody else.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to have a business.
Well, these people that had this mentality, like Richard even, the cool thing about it is he just goes, I'm just going to do it. So it's not a job. You know what I mean? Like everybody else, like other techs and stuff like that, they're working for
a
company.
Not a job, right?
And they go, well, this is what, you know, and I actually do really see why so many people have such emptiness in their lives, because they aren't making decisions for themselves. They're just like, oh, I don't really care about this thing that I'm doing, so I'll do good enough to get by. But they're not real. There's no enjoyment. This tech Richard, he had to take real risks. Like, he's self-employed. He's doing it on his, I mean, the reason, like, people, like, even our band, you know what I mean? There's been tons of scary times where we thought, well, where's the money, or what we're going to do, or what does this look like, or how am I going to work this out? You know, it's hard to do that, but there is some kind of, that hardness makes you grow and change and how you adapt. I mean, like our band in Hawthorne Heights, one of the reasons why we're such good friends is we all went through, I was talking to the guys, like, they were talking about like the low period, like, remember like 2012, like Devin had even quit our band, and Hawthorne was talking, that was the years where like we played Indiana like 6 times each tour. Or so, you just finding places to play and get to, and nobody was talking about emo or whatever. And then all of a sudden, somehow there's a resurgence, and they were able to adapt during those times to stick around now. And Hawthorne Heights
and be in position
now
to capitalize.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many bands that just go, oh, well, forget it, I'll quit or whatever. And then maybe they have regrets, or whatever. If something's going to be just handed to you, it's easy, but it never really is fulfilling. Like, the fact that we're going to do something hard. Even now, I guess, on some level, like, even going on tour now is harder than it used to be, but there is some fulfillment there and some idea. But that's what I'm saying. So with this, I was like, if I get all this stuff here and invest, then I have to make this work. Like, it's not just, oh, well, see, like, it's going to be hard. Like, I'm going to screw up. Like, every time I meet somebody, I ask them, what's your biggest fuck up? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what's your biggest t-shirt screw up? What did you do wrong with this? And he's like, well, and they all know. He was like, well, honestly, there was 2 times. One was this, where the ink got on, like, one of his first big jobs, one of the colors was wrong, even though the guy gave him those colors. And he's like, oh, no, it was a huge order. And then the other one was his dryer wasn't good enough. And so all the ink from the shirt, when he stacked them, got on the back of the next shirt. And he's like, oh, no. And they came and they were like, oh, man. And he's like, and his answer was so awesome. I was like, what'd you do? He goes, I had to figure it out. And I was like, yeah, that's what you do. It sucks. Having to figure it out sucks, right? Yeah. When there's something there. But you know what? That's why he's awesome. And what did he learn? He knows all that stuff. And so
that's cool. Yeah.
It makes it awesome.
In the very non-digital, very non-AI realm. AI can't do any of that.
Right. Right.
Not yet.
Not any of it.
Yeah. It well, may, speaking yeah, maybe of, eventually. But.
Speaking of tour and shirt t-shirts, which... Yeah. We're about to print hundreds. Toby's going to be printing hundreds very soon. Not for this tour, but soon.
Not today, but soon. I know more than I did a month ago, like a lot more. So.
Yeah, he's already started. He told me the other day, Devin, he's already gotten his contacts at sweatshops in other countries and stuff.
Nice.
It's like
he's already negotiating.
You can't believe how cheap those Thailand folks will work for you.
I heard him speaking some weird languages, saying some weird stuff the other day.
Toby learned how to speak Thai. He's just talking on the phone and business. He goes off on the side on our tour. He just starts yelling in What's the language?
I don't know.
Thai? Yeah. Taiwanese? Yeah. All right, here we go.
Taiwanese, I guess.
So we got shows coming up very soon, next week. Next yeah. week. So next we're, Matt week. And Dave have been working on the set list. We're starting mm-hmm. to practice. We got some stuff going. So we're going to be playing.
Yeah, right. This week, yeah, go really.
So we got pre-show. We're doing acoustic, like several songs with Gillespie. We kind of go back and forth. It's really fun. Take some selfies. We're doing the big shows. We're doing the Weeks End, Gillespie, and the Almost with Matt, Chris, and Dave, which is awesome, are playing mm-hmm. Southern Weather. And we're going to be on Thursday, March 14th, we're going to be in Augusta, Georgia, the 15th, Atlanta, 16th, Pensacola, 17th, Tampa, 18th, off, 19th, Orlando, 20th, West Palm Beach, 21st, Ponte Vedra, 22nd, Birmingham, 23rd, Memphis, 24th, Nashville. That's starting at the end of next week. And then we're going to also be in the Midwest in May. You can find all those dates. We just announced Chicago. And so you can find all those dates on emerymusic.com. You can buy tickets to the main show, tickets to the pre-show. You can bring up to two guests with you for the pre-show, and your kids, your parents, grandparents, friends, coworkers, whatever. You can bring them. And we're excited because we get to basically play the exact same set list all year long, which is going to be cool. And we're gonna probably be adding some songs here and there, depending on if we're headlining or not headlining. So it's going to be really cool. We got a lot of stuff coming up this year. So make sure you go to emerymusic.com for that. Also, we're about to
do. And this is the last year we'll ever play Walls. We are never playing it again.
It should go in the emo museum somewhere, the audio file. And we're also, we're about to do Part Due, which you guys, if you join Emeryland, you can get Part Due. We talked about only doing the podcast while we're on tour for Emeryland members because it's hard and we don't really want to do it, but we also really want to do it. Yeah. So we'll do it for Emeryland members. So join, you'll get some extra podcasts. You get video specials. We've recorded like five or six of our albums already live on video and audio, and it sounds really, really awesome. You get those, you get extra music and all that stuff. So join Emeryland and you get all the goodies.
Yep. And eventually you're going to get all my test shirt presses signed. I thought that'd be a cool thing for Emerylanders too. Like the shirts I fuck up on, I'll just sign them and you get a cool shirt that that I screwed
Error up. Card.
Error card. Yeah.
Error card. There we go. All right. All right. Well, let's head to Part Due then.
Yep.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be you.